Don't miss this episode of Joe's Mini Bike Reunion. We bring in the true OG, Al Benaroyo from Go Kart USA. This guy's been there when mini bikes first started, and he's still with us. Don't miss this chance to find out not only the history, but the current day view from Al's perspective, right here on Joe's Mini Bike Reunion podcast. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Joe's Mini Bike Reunion Podcast. This is Season 8, Episode 5, and boy, this is going to be a good one. Tonight's guest, Al Benaroyo, or something like that. His name is about as hard to pronounce as my last name, Sebergondio, but Al definitely is worth the wait tonight. How is this guy, who is even older than I am, believe it or not, how has he been able to survive in this mini bike and go-kart game when hundreds and hundreds of others haven't been able to make the cut? We'll find out about the history that Al can share, his OG knowledge, and more recently, how this 65-plus-year-old dude ended up doing a Bay Area ride with Ozzy and all the dudes from SoCal. How he survived it, I don't know. So it's going to be a good one. Hey, everybody, thanks for tuning in. I want to begin by giving a big shout out to our sponsors tonight. Obviously, our friends from Go Kart USA, as well as our friends from, let's see, we've got studsracing.com. In fact, Eric from Studs Racing had a cool event that he hosts annually in Detroit at his headquarters, studsracing.com. They had an awesome turnout, as they typically do, really nice bikes. You know, in Detroit, I've seen and I've, over the years, felt a presence of not so much quantity, but quality. They're big tire bikes. They're go fast bikes. Eric has been doing a great job there at Studs, particularly with the Tellisons. In fact, we purchased a kit from Eric. You can check him out at studsracing.com and ask for your Joe's Mini Bike Reunion discount anytime. He'll charge you double. But we purchased a kit from him with along with the electric start, and I got to tell you, he has to be the expert with the Tillisons at this point. He knows all the tips and tricks. There's charging systems and batteries that come into play with those power plants, as well as he knows the difference in the bolt-on aftermarket parts that and their compatibility with that engine, I think, better than most. So check those guys out at studsracing.com. I also want to give a shout-out to our friends at Dingo Moto USA. Dingo Moto as you guys may have recalled, not only have they been exhibitors with me at the show, Joe's Mini Bike Reunion, which is, again, going to be held October 14th, 2023 at CV Park in beautiful La Crescenta, California. You can register anytime and save at joesminibikereunion.com. Dingo Moto is there setting up. I like to think that we were somewhat a part of their soft roll. You can check out on YouTube or wherever you get your podcast fix. You can check out Joe's Mini Bike Reunion and our interview with Dingo Moto and Sam Flores. But they've created a crowdfunding opportunity for you. And I want to read it because I don't want to get it wrong. You know, if you've ever dreamt of owning one of these Dingo Moto mini bikes, which are so cool because they have that vintage look as well as that modern electric power plant technology, it's like old versus new. You can. They've got some exciting news through this Indiegogo campaign, again, which is a crowdfunding way. You have the opportunity to not only buy a bike, but, you know, buy a hat, buy a t-shirt, buy whatever you want. You can be a part of that Dingo Moto family. You can check them out. They're on Instagram. They're on Facebook. It's Dingo Moto. This crowdfunding opportunity allows you to take your passion to that next level. These are not easy to get, these bikes. Each of the bikes are not only numerically identified, they come with, an NWA? Okay, whatever these new wave, I don't know what are they? EFTs or whatever they are. You know, NFTs. There you go. They come with NFTs. I watch Jocelyn, and I watch Sam, and I watch Vance and all those guys meticulously put together the crates for these bikes. I mean, it's like they're holding a baby with each and every one of these bikes, and they're not easy to get because they're not shitting them out. You know, these are bikes that you have to order in advance. So they'd be immensely grateful for your support. Check out their campaign and help them make that electric mini bike a reality for everyone. It's join that Dingo Moto journey. I too, like, my goals are to get a Dingo Moto mini bike and an F&B mini bike this year. We'll see what happens. All right. So this weekend, if you listen to the podcast, you realize that I was crying and moaning last time about the fact that I'm getting old and I've got a bad back and I've got pinched nerves and I can't walk and I can't sit down. But I got those shots. I got those epidural cortisone shots. Emmanuel might as well be a doctor. He gave me a remedy of ibuprofen and, I don't know, stretching. That only goes so far. So I went and I got the shots. And I'll admit it, I made the mistake that I tell you not to. Don't go to YouTube or anywhere else and look into any surgery or any illness that you may have, because it'll only make you crazy. I made that mistake, and I got more negative comments about these epidural cortisone shots for pinched nerves. The fact is that it doesn't work for everybody. I got lucky. It gave me a little bit of relief. I'm one of the 60 or 70% that took the shots, and it worked. I want to thank my doctor. He doesn't want any love, so I won't tell you his name. But I felt good to the point that I wanted to try to get back to some semblance of normalcy. I wanted to get back to some of the things that I had enjoyed. And a lot of that has to do with me being out with my Honda Grom lifestyle friends on Friday, or riding with my mini bike guys. And Wayne from First Pull Mini Bikes put on a really good event and ride out this weekend. We started in Carson and we ended up at Venice Beach. I want to give a shout out to my man, Long Beach Sprocket, as well as all my friends, including particularly Daryl, Big Daddy from Big Daddy Motorsports, and all my friends from Fastlane. We had a good time. I went out. I didn't know whether or not, I hadn't ridden my Temecula Bob, big belly built Jake Moe finished bike in a while. Last time I rode it was about a year ago, and I hadn't started it at all because it's been a slow 6 months between my back issues and the weather in California. The first 6 months is like nothing was happening fast. So I said, you know what? I'm going to bring that bike out. If it starts, I'll ride. If it doesn't start, I'll go home. But I at least wanted to see these guys. I wanted to see my friends. It had been a minute. And it was fun because I met a lot of new guys as well. In fact, this table is littered with decals from a lot of new friends that I met, particularly my guys at First Pull and Wayne, but also the guys at Premier, Criminal Mini Bikes, Orange County Mini Bikes, Speed Junkies, as well as obviously the mainstays, the 605s, the Long Beach Sprockets, the Fast Lanes. But also want to give a shout out to my boy. I got to put my glasses on because he has a dark decal. LBC Mini Bikes. The fact is that all these decals that we have here, they've replaced business cards in our industry. It's decals. And I talked to you guys about that before. I met a lot of cool guys, and I'll remember them all through these decals. I've got some extras, so if you need some, just reach out to me. I know that Small Engine Cams and a few other companies, like, they'll send you out a bag of decals when you buy something. It's really cool. And everybody's come up with so many creative decals, particularly. The ride out was good. I learned a lot. I still continue to learn a lot. I went spontaneously, which means that I was about 85% prepared. Here's what I learned, and here's how I fucked up. Like, I'm old now, right? I didn't bring glasses. I brought my cell phone, but, like, I didn't bring a charger. I didn't stay with the pack all the time. And as a result, I didn't keep up and almost found myself by myself in Venice. And it's one thing when you're riding on an illegal mini bike through the streets of Venice with 100 others. It's another thing if you are by yourself. You might as well just go to jail. We got to Venice. the bike ran great. When I got to the park, not only was it great to see everybody, again, shout outs to all the guys that I met out there, old and new. We took off uneventful. Bike was riding good. We had a couple of gas stops. Along the way, at one of the gas stops, there was some street takeover that was impromptu. And I got to tell you, it was surreal. As I was watching it, it was like I was watching TV. But then I realized I was there for real. And I didn't necessarily feel proud to be there. Always the case. It's always the dude with the Dodge, whether it's the Hellcat or the rebadged Hellcat or the Charger or the Challenger. It's always those guys. And it's always either a Mustang, a Camaro, or a BMW. Well, it was a couple BMWs joining this white Challenger. They took over a street that I don't even remember it was, but it was a pretty major intersection. It happened so quick, and it lasted so long, and a lot of guys are into it, right? A lot of guys are up there with their cameras really close to get video to post, to get likes. The guys in the cars were inches away from death, dude. Fearless, but idiots. I was off to the side. I didn't feel proud to be a part of that. I didn't sign up for that. I signed up for a mini bike ride. But this is what happens in LA along the way, okay? So it's not a look down at my mini bike guys as much as that. Look, when hot rodders and guys looking for attention in muscle cars and leased Dodge Chargers that they barely can afford, whether it's the payment or the gas, when they see a group of hundreds of mini bikes, they want to show off in front of them. So I understand how we attract that, but it was awkward at best. The ride was great. Along the way, everybody was cool. A couple accidents. Most of them I noticed happened off the start. You know, when you first are at the light and there's hundreds of bikes, everybody's got to show their tits, right? So everybody wants to jump out in front. And that's where it happens. Because as soon as you stop, everybody's just catching up and a lot of rear ends. I saw a lot of people in the air. Two or three accidents that probably could have been prevented, but it's going to happen. A lot of folks are riding with equipped bikes and they're with helmets and they've got on pants. Still, the dudes are showing up, the young guys, with fast bikes because they're so light and their bikes are so fast. No helmet. I curbed one dude in a nice way. I saw him at the gas station. I introduced myself. I started talking to him. I told him who I was, how old I was. He was like 20, 18. I was 64. I said, dude, you want to get my age? It's like, you got to wear a helmet. You have to wear a helmet. You're a good rider, but anything could happen. It's not you. It could be the other guy on a ride that you don't know. It could be a car. It could be another person. So put a helmet on. Your mother would be happy I told you that. You're a good-looking young guy. You got a lot to live for. Wear a helmet. I know it's hot. I know it's sunny. I know it's LA. You got long hair. You want everybody to see you. Protect yourself. He got it. He wasn't a dick about it. I like to feel that I had a little bit of impact there. I sure hope so, because along the way, I also saw, it's always the white guy too. We had one white guy in the sea of mostly black dudes. And, you know, look, I don't give a shit whether you're black or white, but there's always a fucking white dude that's got to be the one that you shake your head, right? And he's got no shirt on. He's weaving in and out, could give a shit. He's got a fast bike. But, dude, weaving in and out when you're with a big group, it's not safe not only for you but for everybody else. So boot up, glove up, helmet up, shirt up is what I would suggest. Bring a charger. If you can't fucking see, like I was trying to figure out on MapQuest how to get to my guys. Like Daryl was sending me an address where they were, but I couldn't read my phone. And I didn't have my glasses. And I didn't have that thing on the phone that connects your phone to your handlebars. So like I'm trying to hold my mini bike and give it throttle and then brake. Dude, total bullshit. Okay, so look, I learned a lot. I hope you guys too. The ride was fun. A big shout out to my friend Alex, who I just met at the gas station. Alex is with Mini Bike Mafia. Shout out to my boy Ozzy, 9286. Alex was not only, you know, when you get to these gas stations, it's crazy. Because there's only so many pumps and hundreds of guys. So whoever gets that first pump has that awkward decision whether or not he's going to hand that pump, that gas to someone else or just feed his buddies and turn it off for the next guy. Well, I got there late. Alex was there. I needed gas. I was all but out. And Alex gassed me up and propped me up. You know, he knows the show. He's coming. He knows the podcast. Obviously, he's close with Ozzy. So he was not only nice and gave me some gas, but it was very complimentary. I appreciate that. What had happened to me is that when we got to Venice and the burnout started to happen, the cops came. I was off to the side. I didn't want to be in the videos. I didn't necessarily feel like that's how I want to promote our hobby. I then saw Lonel with Fastlane, who's doing some really good things. In fact, I got to talk to you. I'd like to maybe shoot a future podcast from Fastlane in their new shop. But my phone was dying. So in addition to not having my glasses and being lost from the pack, my phone was not charging. So I gave my phone to Lonel, who was in the chase car, and he was charging it for me. He was going to meet me at the next stop. Well, when I saw him, the truck was still trying to get in. So while I'm looking for the truck, which is, you know, a quarter of a mile away, I got my helmet on, my jacket on. I can't find the truck. Everybody leaves. By the time I found the truck with Lonel and the guys from Fastlane, I had to do all I can to just get that phone, stick it in my pocket, and take off. Only a few of us were left. One of the guys that I was left with had a problem with his bike. I stopped to try to help him. It was like just me, him, and another guy. Quickly, he got his bike started and literally took off. The guy with him lived not too far away. So there I stayed in the middle of Venice by myself, literally. And I had to get back to Carson and then home. So I called Daryl. Daryl, as well as Al and another cool guy, came over. I was at some dispensary in Venice. I'll give you that dispensary information. You could buy pot legally here. I just luckily wound up right in front of that place. They let me charge my phone. The lady let me wipe my brow. I was able to call Daryl. Daryl came and kind of saved me, and we got back. Along the way, kind of crazy, rode on the 105, or the 110 freeway. I don't know. I got home, and I was not only exhausted, I slept from 8 o'clock at night to 8 in the morning. But I kind of smiled because it's been a minute. And I got to tell you that not only was it a great time and fun, but it was also a little bit scary, to be truthful. You got to be safe out there. It's all a roll of the dice. And another gentleman who's just as old as I am, who took a roll of the dice and got on that mini bike at 60 years plus and pretended he was a kid again, is Al from Go-Kart USA. We're going to dial Al up now, and he's going to be our guest on tonight's podcast. We'll spend a few minutes with Al and find out not only what it was like in the old days, but also how he's been able to survive. It ain't easy. It ain't easy making money selling mini bikes, I'll tell you that.
Hey, Joe.
Hello, Al. How are you tonight?
Hey, doing good. Doing good. How about you?
We're doing good. Welcome to Joe's Mini Bike Reunion Podcast. This is Season 8, Episode 5, and we're here with the owner of Go-Karts USA. And Al, for those of us who have either attempted and butchered or would like to just be clear, how do you pronounce your last name?
Oh, wow. Okay. So that's Al. Of course, I'm known as Go-Kart Al, and my last name is Ben Arroyo.
Awesome.
Ben Arroyo.
Ben Arroyo. I love that. And from Sebergandio, where we share similar vowels. And I don't know, I got 11 letters in my last name. Al, I want to say that personally, I would be remiss to not only thank you, but to tell you how invaluable your support has been, not only for me as a producer of the Mini Bikes show, but also to our mini bike hobby and community. Over the last, I don't know, 10 years or so, you and I not only didn't know each other, but like we had one thing in common, which was our relationship with Dave Miller. But I can remember from my initial outreach to you up until this phone call, not only have you always been there for me, but you've always been there for me and some. And so I'd like to thank you for that as we begin the podcast.
Well, wow. I really appreciate that. That means a lot coming from you, Joe.
Well, it's genuine, Al. And the fact is that you continue to do it. Thank you for your ongoing support. I was mentioning in the opening that I always am the older guy in the group, whether it's the rides or whether it's my event, no matter what, even when they look a little older than me, Al, I still find myself 3 or 4 or 5 years older than most of the folks that are currently a part of our hobby. You and I share similar ages, and I'm curious, how the hell is it that guys like you and I, at 60 years plus, risk all and everything just for the sheer fun and excitement of jumping on a mini bike still?
You want to know something, Joe? We've been trying to explain that for many, many years. There's something about mini bikes that we just can't explain, and that's how we explain it.
Is it the immediate return to your youth and the fact that you still get that same, whether it's the excitement once you're flying in a mini bike or whether it's the start of the mini bike and the smell and the sound of that chain and the clutch? Is it all that?
You know, I tell you, I think mini bikes gave you an independence. As a kid, you could take off on your mini bike and you were gone. And you were just independent. You were just ruler of the world at that time. You didn't really realize it, but it was a freedom, I tell you.
Al, do you remember your first mini bike?
Yeah, boy, I tell you. Yeah, you know, let me tell you the story about my first mini bike. I asked my dad for a mini bike. I think I was about 9, and he said no. My neighbor had a Taco 22, and he wouldn't let me ride it. So when I turned 10, I asked my dad again. He said no. Finally, when I turned 11, I asked him, and to my surprise, he said yes. So we went down to Sears, and we bought a Wren Bird mini bike. I don't know if anybody remembers that mini bike.
They certainly do.
The company was called Wren, yeah, and the model was a bird.
And it was W-R-E-N, correct?
Correct.
Yes.
Correct. Yeah, the Wren is a bird, and so I guess. Yeah, and so it had a 3.5-horsepower Tecumseh engine on it, painted white. And I was king.
King being, you're the king of the neighborhood. You're a king of the girl that wouldn't give you the time of day. You're a king of the bullies that used to kick your ass. You literally were a king on the block, weren't you, with that mini bike?
You know, there was just something about it. You know, you spent more time as a kid working on it. You lost your master link. You know, you had to wait till the weekend when your dad could take you down to the one store that would sell you a number 35 master link. You know whose store that was? That was Arlen Ness's store.
Oh, the motorcycle extraordinaire builder, certainly.
Cycle Center. Okay, yes. Arlen Ness then took up in that space, and then he moved it. You know, but that's where he made his Victory motorcycles.
Yes.
You know? Well, that's where I used to get my mini bike parts.
Arlen Ness, what an icon in the custom motorcycle world.
I'm telling you.
I too had similar situations. It was Dr. No whenever I asked for anything, including either a catcher's mitt, which at the time were $11, or a mini bike, which at the time I think were $85. I got a little bozo, finally, after screaming and crying and making feeble attempts to save money, and it did provide me with whatever catalyst I needed to still be passionate about this hobby years later. And now, granted, during those times when you and I were younger, there were hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of manufacturers, not only the Bonanzas and the Rupps and maybe the Tacos that you mentioned, but there were everybody and their brother, whether it was the catalogs from Montgomery Ward's or Sears or JCPenney, but any lawnmower shop had a mini bike. How is it, Al, all of those what appeared to be burgeoning and popular companies with go-kart and mini bike sales, how is it that they all disappeared?
You know, it's just amazing, Joe. I mean, I think it all started around 1960. I think Azusa was at the bottom of it all. And like you said, tons of manufacturers, Kenbar, Manco, blah, 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 on and on. But by 2009, they all were out of business. We were the last man standing. But we didn't have anything to sell. They were all gone. So what did we do? We went to China. We started selling Chinese products. Rokita, Kinroad, tons of them.
Al.
But now, that is reversing. We're seeing that reverse. We're back to the American-made products.
So with that said, your bikes being those available at gokartusa.com, check those guys out, not only for your mini bike, but obviously your go-kart and any two or four cycle power sport that you may have an interest in. Check them out again at Go-Karts USA. You'll notice their commercial at the front end of the podcast, always there for us. Again, thank you, Al. The bikes that you currently have now have a very strong tie into the look and feel of the Bonanza bikes that were American made and candidly kind of the Budweisers, so to speak, of the mini bike world. They were not only prominent but popular throughout the US, those Bonanza models. And your American Racer is a pretty close replica of that bike. Tell us a little bit about why that is the case. Why is it that Bonanza style bike was one that you felt gave you enough of the goods that you wanted to maybe emulate that and sell it?
Well, I'll tell you, Joe, the Bonanza bike is iconic. And, you know, I know the one that everybody liked was the one with the swing arm, and it had a really a lot of nice features on it. And this was recreated by, you know who, Dave Miller. Okay, and so he installed a cutaway on the engine mounting, so you can it run either a straight clutch, or if you wanted it for the dirt, you could run a torque converter. And with the bigger wheels, it was much more comfortable. You can ride this bike all day long. It's just a joy to ride. And so you're familiar with that because I think you got a frame and you did a frame. I saw the bike that you guys built last year at your show.
Yes, Jake Moe not only started with a very good beginning with the frame that you had supplied us with, but he also added, like Jake always does, some of his touches.
Sure.
You saw the first outing. He not only brought it back to me, but he now has it back. There was just a clone Honda in that bike when we showed it. It now has a fully custom-built Tillison with electric start. Custom clutch cover, different Jake Moe appointees and acumens that I'll just let you stew over until you see it. But I want to tell you, that bike, and maybe Al, you can help me with this because I've been victim of it myself. That bike is an American Racer. Why is it that I find myself and others continuously referring to it as an American Flyer? Can you help with that?
Yeah, let me tell you, we started out calling it American Flyer, and I got a letter from the company that has that trade name, American Flyer. They said that they felt it was conflicting because they do bicycles. And so we agreed, and so we changed it to American Racer.
Got it. I was, I always... Not always, but more recently, I've been wondering about my memory and my lack of. And even Jake Moe, who is much younger and much sharper, he's like, "Are you sure it's not American Flyer? I could have sworn it was American Flyer." I said, "No, it's American Racer." And then as you go back and forth, it becomes more confusing. But thanks for the clarity. So Al, let's go back for a second. So we went from 200. Plus manufacturers, and they were popping up like dispensaries pop up nowadays in this world. They're every day, there was a mini bike or a go-kart shop opening up everywhere, whether you were in Utica, New York, or Los Angeles. You couldn't go anywhere. And if a guy sold lawnmowers, you know he was selling mini bikes. So wherever those shops were, and then they all went away. The telltale sign and story went something like this. Hey, liability. Everybody got litigious and started to sell or to sue everybody because their kids were coming home missing two teeth or stitches on the elbow. How much truth is there to the fact that the legal challenges that go along with selling something like at that time in the 60s and the 70s, a power sport vehicle, which is fun, but hey, we all know there's another side of mini bikes, which is those things are rigid frame death traps, right?
Well, you know, I'll tell you, that did play a little bit of a role in it there. I know Briggs and Stratton, somebody flipped a go-kart and gasoline came out and it caught on fire. And so there was a nasty lawsuit. And I think that resulted in Briggs and Stratton. They didn't want their engines on power sports anymore. Honda, they made rules. They said no two wheels. You can show it on a four-wheel go-kart, but no, you don't show our engine, you know, the GX, on any two-wheeled mini bikes.
As a retailer, you mean don't show them in any of your promotions or advertising?
Correct.
Got it.
Correct.
Now, but what about Tecumseh and Briggs, which were the more popular power plants, though? It wasn't as if people were putting Hondas or, you know, obviously Briggs were, but, you know, Tecumseh was the more popular engine as well, too, right? Did they, too, have some restrictions?
Yeah. Well, the first there was Briggs was the number one engine everyone was using, and then Tecumseh, and then later on they even ended up switching over to Robin. You know, Manco started using Robin engines and so forth.
And Clinton, too, right?
I didn't see too many Clinton engines.
Al, were you always on the West Coast? Where were you growing up?
Yeah, well, you know, way, way back, you know, I come from New York, but
okay.
I was a little boy when we moved out to California, so I'm a California boy.
So me too. You know, I'm a New York guy from Utica, and I bring up Clinton because that I had a Clinton engine in my first bike. It was a Bozo. They were a little bit more popular than maybe others, right? It was either Tecumseh, Briggs, or Stratton. I don't remember Robin too much. But look, if times come on now, look how that's changed. Look at how the Predator has taken over, huh? Or in this case, maybe even the Tillerson. And a lot of the clones have gone from being somewhat of an embarrassment to being pretty reliable. What do you see trend-wise in terms of power plants? Do you see an uptick with the Tillersons, or do you find that the Predator-style Chinese engines seem to be the go-to power plants in most of your applications?
There's three reasons why the Predator is popular. You can get it at Harbor Freight store across the country. It's cheap and it's got a strong crankshaft. So if you upgrade that motor and put in all the internals, you know, the rod, the fly, the cam, etc., that crankshaft is strong enough to take it. Some of the other cheaper motors are not quite as strong on the crankshaft.
Yeah, I have seen, and not only seen, but heard, because you hear not only, you know, it's funny, when you hear something that's good, you know, it gets around. Boy, if something's not good, it really gets around, right?
Yeah.
In the case of the Predator, and anything really that came from China, let's face it, it was like short-term satisfaction. Don't expect much, you don't get much. If you're lucky, they'll return it. Now the return policy is still pretty good, but the fact is that the products is really come along well. So hats off to those guys. I personally have one or two or three of them. I also have a lot of bikes that have the old school Tecumsehs and the Briggs. Mm-hmm. And honestly, mm-hmm. for those of you who haven't tried to tune a Tecumseh carburetor, I got to tell you, man, you go swapping on a Makuni or knockoff Makuni on a Predator, and it's a lot easier. Al, there's a little bit of a shift, too, I see on these rides. You took a ride with Ozzy 9286 up in the Bay Area there. I want to find out a little bit more about that, but you've also seen a little bit of an uptick in maybe the interest of the go-kart side compared to the mini bike side. What can you tell us? What are you seeing lately in that trend?
Well, yeah, go-karts, it's exciting, and I do see a lot more, you know, a lot more guys out there wanting to ride them. You know, I don't know, you know, I know that riding out there wherever you choose to ride can be risky, so I can't really advocate how to ride it, but I'll tell you something, the mid-size go-kart that we have, has the base one, the XRS model, has a 6.5 horsepower engine. It's a Honda clone, and that means that all of our performance parts will fit on that motor.
Great.
And there's no bells and whistles that you don't need. We have a deluxe model, right, that has, you can order it with or without reverse and has electric start.
Wow, electric start and reverse on a go-kart. Pretty cool.
Yeah, and all these bells and whistles. But at the end of the day, you know, you probably, if you're going to get one of those deluxe models, you're probably going to take a lot of that stuff off and, you know, design your engine a little bit differently.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think if you want to build, if you want a hot rod go-kart, you really care about having reverse. I think you kind of, you'd be better off without it, I think.
Well, that just tells me that you know your customer, because most of the guys on listening to this podcast, or for that matter, going on these rides or going to our events, they want it bare basic. They want to add their own components. They're not looking for the quote unquote options. They're looking for the bare basics. And Al, you generously have decided this year at Joe's Mini Bike Reunion, which again, October 14th, you can pre-register now at joesminibikereunion.com and save. You've been generous enough to offer the XRS Basic go-kart available as a prize to some lucky participant. Thank you again for your generosity. We appreciate that, Al. You also have those new bikes that had that, I guess that drag racing inspired theme. Talk a little bit about that Thunder drag bike that Rick Hargrove put together, won't you?
Oh, okay. Yeah. It's a single bone bike, and you know, you can go with a 6-inch front wheel, or there's an optional 10-inch front wheel, and you know, it's got the 1-inch axle. It's kind of a you know, you see a couple of these guys that are making this type of frame. You know, it's got the wheelbase and everything you need to, you know, hit 100+. So we'll be bringing those to the show. we've got a surprise. We're working on a 357 that will go up over 100.
Al, did you ever think you'd be talking about mini bikes going over 100 miles an hour back when, I don't know.
Absolutely not. Never.
Al, wasn't going 35 a lot? Remember that?
Yeah. Yeah, it was fast enough.
What happened?
Yeah.
is it just the thirst for speed? You know, is it the product technology?
Well, like we said a few years ago, mini bikes are back, only now they have enough horsepower to kill you.
Yeah, like literally, right? Before we were saying it figuratively, because, you know, you'd get thrown off and you'd chip a tooth or you'd crack an elbow or break a collarbone. But at 90 plus, look, I was out riding and I've got a bike that is a 65 mile an hour bike, maybe. Even that's fast. I had guys passing me like I was standing still. So for those of you listeners, and again, you're listening to Joe's Mini Bike Reunion podcast brought to you by our friends at Go Kart USA, as well as our friends at Stunt Racing, studsracing.com, and our friends over at Dingo Moto. Check those guys out. The reality of it is that, guys, always, I know it's fun first, but from two OGs like myself and Al Ben Arroyo, who's been our guest tonight on Joe's Mini Bike Reunion podcast, the owner of Go Kart USA, it's like, guys, look, be careful. We want you out there for the next ride and for the next show and to be able to listen to the next podcast, because getting home safe is the most rewarding part of the ride. Wouldn't you agree, Al?
Well, I got to tell you, it's probably the most dangerous thing that I've ever done in my life. And so it's like it's the wild, wild west, man.
Well, it is literally, especially out here in California. Now, is there anything maybe that you'd like to mention as we close up the podcast tonight?
Well, you know, I think we pretty much covered it. The ride was just awesome that we had a couple weeks ago, man. And so Rico from Bay Area Mini Bike Life organized it. And, you know, Mini Bike Mafia came up. Ozzy came up. And we were all over the city, man, over the Golden Gate. Like I said, it was the wild, wild west, dangerous as hell. But you asked the question, what possesses us to do something like that? And I told you the answer is there is no answer. We just there's something about mini bikes that we just love, you know. So at the end of the day, that's what it's all about. So I want to thank you very much for having me as a guest on your show, Joe. And I'm looking forward to the your show coming up in October. We're going to come down. We're going to have lots of toys with us. So
a couple things. A shout out to Rico up there in the Bay Area for putting on that ride. Obviously, Ozzy's making a lot of things happen, and he's the king of rides. I don't know what you did or how you were able to sneak out of the house. I don't know what you told your wife, where you were going or what you were doing, but you got back safe. You had a good time. It is good for the soul for us old guys, Al. I look forward to seeing you as well as everybody else. I want to plant the seed for you as well, Al. Many of the sponsors and exhibitors of Joe's Mini Bike Reunion, including Steady Garage, Studs Racing, Las Vegas Mini Bikes, and others, Go-Kart USA, Go Power Sports, they came to SEMA Fest, which was the consumer offering after the SEMA show. It was a great turnout. Maybe the SEMA Fest could be an opportunity for Go-Kart USA to come out and show the world not only about their line of mini bikes and go-karts, but also have a chance to put those bikes and go-karts front and center in front of like 30,000 consumers. We're building quite a nice following with the mini bike and the mini moto crowds at SEMA, the world's largest automotive events. And I think our time has come to have some presence there at such a large forum as the SEMA show. So keep that in mind. It's called SEMA Fest. For those of you who exhibited with me last year, check that opportunity out for this year. It's expanded to 2 days this year. It's at the new Las Vegas Festival Grounds. It's November the 3rd and 4th. There's a huge contingent of musical acts, including folks like who, E?
Imagine Dragons,
Incubus, Third Eye Blind, a lot of other good bands, Bush. So it's motorsports and burnouts and mini bikes and I guess music, food. It's going to be a good time. I'd love for you to be a part of it. Folks, we've been talking to Al, the owner of Go-Karts USA. Al, one last thing.
Yes, sir.
Over the years, I've talked to you, Mario, Emron, and Nick. Whoever it is that I talked to, whenever it was, up to and including the gal who answers your phone, I've never met, whether it's through the phone or email, a nicer group of folks at Go-Kart USA than those folks I mentioned. Are those folks all still there?
Oh, yeah. Well, all except Emron. Emron's not there, but Zach is there, and we got Ben is there, and Matt is also there. And so Emron was with us for about, 11 years, 12 years. But he elected to move on about a year ago.
Al, I'd like you to extend our compliments to that staff. And is there anybody else there that is with the Go-Kart USA family that you'd like to give a special mention or shout out to?
Well, I think we touched base pretty much on everyone there.
Awesome.
And so, I think we're just good to go.
Al, thank you so much for being on Joe's Mini Bike Reunion Podcast. This is Season 8, Episode 5. Brought to you by our friends at Go-Kart USA, Studs Racing, and our friends at Dingo Moto USA. Hey, everybody, thanks for listening. This is Joe from Joe's Mini Bike Reunion. I appreciate you being here. We've got another great guest coming up on our next episode. It's your buddy Frank from F&B Racing, Al, so it's going to be another good one. Thanks so much for your time, Al. We'll see you the next time, and I'll see you up close and personal October 14th here in La Crescenta for Joe's Mini Bike Reunion.
All righty, Joe. Have a great night.
All right. Thank you, Al.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. How cool to catch up with Al. Again, as I said, all of it's true. Great guy, great staff, great partner. As I've watched Al, he's taken on a role where he is he's networking. He's talking to Jake Moe about a collaboration. The guys from Fastlane, Lonel and Daryl in Cleveland, went up to see Al at Go-Kart USA. I believe Go-Kart USA is now selling GTS frames. So all these guys that have become a part of the Joe's Mini Bike Reunion family are now starting to collaborate. And dude, that's what this is all about. Check those guys out. Check out that American Racer kit. You can do a lot to it. It's a good place to start, but there's a lot more that you can do with it. They've got over 450 zillion parts for go-karts and mini bikes. It's gokartusa.com. Eric from Studs Racing had another event that took place out there in Dearborn. As I mentioned earlier, you could check out more information from that, including some cool videos on YouTube. Studsracing.com. We talked a little bit about the crowdfunding opportunity with our friends at Dingo Moto USA. I had a daiquiri earlier, and I'm getting hiccups, so we'll end the podcast, everybody. Thanks for listening to Joe's Mini Bike Reunion Podcast. See you the next time.
Show.